Learn the art of investing on MoneyWise.
Welcome to the MoneyWise podcast. My name is Sheetal, and today we're going to be joined by Kesha Shah, who's co-founder and expert financial planner at Tai Chi Transforming Lives. She's a certified financial planner. It's a globally recognized financial planning qualification that has been given to her for the excellence she has demonstrated in meeting standards of education, examination, experience, and ethics. You've also probably heard her on FM 94.3 radio is where she's been. So that really calls out to me as well, personally, and a podcast should be just a logical extension of what she's done there. She's also had Facebook Live sessions for people interested in her area of turf and written a column in newspapers as well. So that's who we have in Manner of Expert today. Thank you so much, Kesha, for making us some time on the MoneyWise podcast, and welcome.
Thank you so much, Sheetal, for having me on the show.
First up, before we get into, you know, advice and ideas from your own life on investment for women, let's just go back in time a little bit, Kesha. Tell us about your childhood days. When was the first time, for example, you understood the value of money and investments? Was there a specific moment of time or were you, was this like, you know, quietly integrated in your life by lessons from your parents and other people? How did it happen for you?
This is an interesting one. So first time I really understood finance practically was in my college days. That also because my dad was not very tech savvy, and most of his investment reports used to come online. So it just started with taking printouts for him. But in that process, I started understanding those reports and started doing my own research on the same. And you will be surprised to know that this was around 2007-2008, the global financial crisis. So really got to learn a lot from there. My dad was pretty open to discussions, so I started giving him my opinions on his portfolios. But investing on my own only started after I got married, and it became more goal-based only after my child was born for us. So yeah, that's how the journey has been till date.
You know, there are different entry ports for people into this world of finances, but I love your example, Excel sheets, because your father was not tech savvy. That's an interesting one. But, you know, this transition from a saver to investor, and you rightly pointed out the goal-based approach came in a little later. But before I get to that point, right, what is the one piece of advice related to investment that you wish you had embraced at an earlier age, earlier than your college days, for example?
Here, I would like to give you an example of what I have done with my child, who is just 8 years old now. Mm-hmm. So whenever he gets a gift, no, he will always divide this into three categories: invest, spend, and give. So 10% of his money that he gets, he will use it for a social cause. 20% of it will go for buying something that he really, really wants at that given point of time. And 70% of it, he will always invest. Here, he has a money diary that he has for himself. So there he will jot down the amount that he invests. And at every year end, I will tell him the value of money that he has accumulated over the period of time. Okay, so here what is happening is he's learning two things. One, he's being very disciplined with his approach towards money. And second, he's understanding the power of compounding because he is seeing his money grow. So I just wish, as my parents taught me a lot of ethics in life, gave me very good education, they would have taught me to be financially independent at an early age where I could have started investing. And I could have had power of compounding to my wealth at a very early age rather than starting it so late or at the dead end of, say, around 30s.
Now, let's come to the goal-based approach that you really talk about. Now, you dwelt on that for a bit. How do you manage to get your investment in place to take care of important aspects of your life? For example, marriage, home ownership, other priorities like your children's education, weddings, etc.
See, for us, investing has been very, very, very simple. All our investments are goal-based. Like every time when we get out of a house, we exactly know where we are going, right? So same applies for our investments. The goal and timeline for every investment is decided first. Depending on the timeline and risk associated, we invest our money. If the goal is short-term, we go into short-term basket of debt products. And if the goal is long-term, we go into the equity basket. This helps us to be sure and to have a peace of mind. Then when the goal comes, we are in the position to achieve it. And in today's world, it is all the more important because there is so much of noise because of social media and there are a lot of distractions that keep on happening. So rather than doing any kind of impulsive buying, just because we have a goal-based approach, we are more focused in life and we can really achieve our goals when the time really comes in.
I like that approach, but I want to do a googly question over here. Does this mean that you have to live your life through an Excel sheet? I'm thinking of one row for short-term goals, one row for long-term goals. Is that how you approach it? Is a simpler way of doing it?
Because no, it's very simple that me and my husband actually sit together every quarterly and we will say that, okay, this is what we plan for. Is there anything else that we really want to incorporate? And this is also what we want in our lives.
Yeah.
So then obviously there'll be a review which is happening year on year or on a half yearly basis, and things are all incorporated. So this is not a static plan where you have to stick to it once it is made and it has to go on like that. Yeah.
Correct. So I can see the onboarding your spice, you know, spice, I'm saying, of course, spice is also correct because spouse is the spice of life, if you ask me. What makes life spicier is when you have your investments and your goals aligned together. But, you know, speaking of spouses, I see a lot of women sort of not take ownership of their future when it comes to things like retirement plans, right? So I want to ask you, Keisha, as a co-founder and expert financial planner yourself, how do you see retirement and what are those steps that you have taken to ensure that you can sit and sip a nice piña colada somewhere on a nice beach in the Bahamas when you're...
Okay, so here, I think since ever I was a child, I used to dream of having a lot of money in life. Getting into this profession, I think, made my life easier. So the goal of my life is to retire at 60 with around 100 crores of assets, be financially totally free, live a dream life of having a farmhouse which is close to nature, doing some kind of organic farming. I also want to create a philanthropy corpus for underprivileged children to help them and guide them achieve their dreams and achieve the careers that they really want. But to make this happen, there are some rules that I have set for myself. So the first one and the most important one is to have adequate term and health insurance for the family so that even if any kind of unforeseen event happens, we are still on track for our retirement goal.
Right.
Also, we are very disciplined with our investors and we do an annual review of our plan to see to it that our goal is on track.
Superb. Insurance, I'm, red flagging that over here, no, neon lighting it for all of our listeners, not red flagging it. Certainly something to bear in mind.
You're listening to MoneyWise, successful investment ideas that create wealth. Did you know?
According to a survey from November 2022, more women investors in India held mutual funds compared to men. Approximately 60% of women chose to go with systematic investment plans or SIPs compared to 55% of men.
Personal finance simplified only on MoneyWise.
Any pointers for single women, especially Keisha, that you would like, or someone, you know, I mean, like you said, life can sometimes throw you a lemon. Sometimes we outlive our spouses. In the case of people who have lost their spouses, women especially, what kind of advice would you give those categories of women?
So for female who are solo in life, they are generally dependent on any kind of a male counterpart in their family. It could be their brother, it could be their father, whom they generally seek financial advice. So all I would want to tell them is rather than being totally dependent on them, start understanding what it means for you. What are your dreams in life? And maybe you can start with a very small investment on your own and build it further. Understanding it rather than doing it blindly just because somebody else is trying to tell you something.
Understood. So take things into your own hands and seek permission.
Yeah.
If you don't have the wherewithal yourself, I hear you loud and clear. Now, here's this other interesting question, right? A lot of people have different, I got a sense of what you want your wealth to do for you. I can almost picture you sitting with the philanthropy corporate things, teaching children to be financial independent. I'm sure that's part of your charter, or even, you know, growing organic vegetables. I'll be buying them for sure. But me, what do you want your money to do for you, Kesha? And what are those things that you will actually avoid when it comes to taking important investment decisions? I mean, there are two questions there for you.
So first of all, my money should give me peace of mind. While I'm relaxing, there is somebody else who's really doing that hard work for me. And it will be there for me when I really need it.
Right.
It should make me feel financially free.
Okay,
so these are the things that I really want my money to do for me. What are the things that I principally avoid? Foremost is no ad hoc investments. It's a total no-no. If anybody is going to come to me and say invest here, it is a strict no-no. There are no advices taken from friends and families and just we decide and we do things. No, nothing is impulsive, so that we don't regret it and we don't regret putting our hard-earned money somewhere and then we feel, oh my God, I wish I could have done it somewhere different.
So no ad hoc decisions. That's one. Anything else that you will avoid?
So basically, there's a lot of noise in the market. I would really suggest our audience also to really avoid the noise, because when markets are going down, there are a lot of noise in the market. Okay, ye ho jayega, wo ho jayega. But if you're a long-term investor and you've taken a call with certain kind of a goal in your mind, you will always achieve it. Even a heartbeat, if it goes straight, then a person will die. So any kind of volatility, take it with a whole spirit and live with it, and you will always achieve your goals in life.
I think that's something I will never forget. Even a heartbeat that flatlines isn't a good sign. So, yeah, volatility and the ups and downs are to be expected when we're in the game for the long run. Superb lessons over there. So I'm greedy for more. That's what happens to people like you, Kesha, who are joining us on the show. So what are some of those experiences, insights that you've got from your own journey, Kesha, on women's relationship with money and how they approach finances? Something that you would like to leave our listeners with?
So today, I would say women have come a long, long way. We have taken leadership positions at our workplaces. But still, when it comes to investments, we are still dependent on our male counterpart to take key investment decisions of all the financial goals in our lives. Also, a lot of women have a lot of money being ideal in their cupboards or just in banks or in FDs. I just feel that today women can get more involved in the decision-making process, so that if there is any unforeseen event like COVID, if it happens in our life, we are not weak as far as finances goes. Emotionally, that time we are always going to be weak. But as far as our finances goes, we are prepared for it and we are not dependent on others to take that decision for us and in our lives.
Right. Absolutely.
Okay, so that is one part of it. And second thing, I would really want to just give one example here, that women are great learners. Let us take an example of a roti. Okay, when we started doing it first, I remember making all the possible shapes. I had, I think, even made an India map out of it. Okay, but finally, I mastered it. So same way a woman can think of investment. They will make mistakes. We will fall. But if we give it time, we can master the art of investing.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Kesha, for those insights. And yeah, I like the roti analogy, because now that I think about it, mine in the beginning were always burnt and hardly edible. But over a period of time, I've gotten there. Now they've qualified nicely on the gas, and I hope I get there in metaphorical sense with my investments as well. But that remains to be seen. But I'm quite certain with guidance from people like yourself, we will certainly get there somewhere. Thank you so much, Kesha, for joining us on the show today.
So I would just want to leave this show saying that we women are great housemakers. We are very good at doing most of the things that we do. Only with little effort in life, I'm sure we can master the art of investing and do wonders for ourselves in life.
Thank you so much, Kesha.
You're listening to MoneyWise, brought to you by Bandhan Mutual Fund. Check out the rest of our series for more investment advice. Mutual fund investments are subject to market risks. Read all scheme-related documents carefully.